Okay. Shalom and Shana Tova. We're continuing in Enaya, Rav Kook's commentary on the Haggadata, on the philosophical aspects of Masechet Shabbat, Daf Yud. Today, Dafka, we're going to talk about something, the reasons why to live in Kochav HaShachar, why to live in a new yeshuv. It's a very interesting chidush. The Ma'amar starts at the top of page 16. V'amar Rava bar Machasya Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya Amar Rav Le'olam yachzor Adam v'yeshev be'ir she'yeshivata krova. A person should always look for a relatively new founded yeshuv. Shemitoch she'yeshivata krova avonotea mu'atim. For the newer a city is, the less sins they have. And now your first reaction is to understand that we're talking about accumulative, right? But as we'll see, it's more essential than just a matter of how many sins the city has accumulated. Where do we learn this out from? Shnei Amar, it says regarding Lot, after the cities of Sodom and Amorah were destroyed, Hinena ha'ir hazot krova lanus shama v'hi mitzar. Okay, which literally means this city, which he wanted to run away to, is close to run away to, and its mitzar means small. Mikrova, the Gemara asks, what does it mean the city is close by? Ilema dimikarva vizuta, if it means that it's close by physically, and it's a small city. V'haka chazula. Right, you see, open your eyes, and you'll see that it's close. What is Lot telling the angels? Right? The angels know at least as much as he does, and they see at least as well as he does. So this leaves room for Chazal to doresh, to darshin, ela, mitoch she'yeshivata krova, avonotea mutzarin. Because...
Why small? What does small have to do with it?
What? According to Pshat or according to Drash?
According to the shot. I mean, it says ilema dimikarva bezuta. What?
Because if it's close, he sees. If it's small, he sees.
If it's small
less also,
likely,
they're also
small,
probably
less
sins. Small,
less, you're less likely to see it.
No, but you'll see that it's small. V'akachadav zeh ela mitoch she'yeshivata krova, because, and this is the drasha, because it's a newly settled city, avanotea mutzarin. It has a small amount of sins. Okay? Rav Kook, what does he do with it? Piska kafalef. Ha'elokim asa et ha'adam yashar. There's a pasuk in Kohelet that Rav Kook mentions very often. We've seen it many times, at least 3-4 times. As a matter of fact, in one of the just the previous piskot that we saw, that God created man with a good nature. And that's why Rav Kook says very often, a person has to be in touch with his nature. Your nature is good because your nature is godly. And last year we learned about, it's actually 2 years ago already, we learned about how children and youth have a tendency to be very idealistic, enthusiastic, happy. They have a lot of good midot because they're fresh from the oven. So here also, Elokim asata adam yashar, God made us straight. Upnimiyuto shel adam notel letov tamid mitzad nafsho Elohit. Man, in his internal self, always will turn to the good. We have a conscience. And when we see somebody doing something good, we feel good. When we do something good, we feel good about ourselves. And vice versa, when we do something wrong, or when we see something wrong, we feel bad. In other words, man is godly. Listen to your nature. Omnam, chitzoniyuto, on the other hand, the external part of man, mitzad chumro, as far as his body. Till now, we've been talking about your neshama. Your soul is godly, but as soon as we start talking about the external, which is the physical, note lara. That's the yetzer hara. That is the physical, the desires that enables us to have free will, that pulls us into problematic directions.
There's going to be a difference between Jews and non-Jews there, that people who are not Jewish are more controlled by their physical nature.
Let's leave that to the side. That's not our topic. מצד חומרון נוטל לרע ויצר מחשבות ליבו פונות לרע יותר מצד החברה שהיא מקלקלת דרכיה כל זמן שמסתכלת רק בחיצוניותו של האדם. The חברה, the social group, has a tendency to focus on the external. Right? Not everyone's a philosopher, not everyone's an intellectual. And the group has a tendency, rather than meeting on the highest common denominator, to meet on the lowest common denominator. And you see this very often when guys go to Miluim. You know, you'll see people who are wearing three-piece suits, and they're sophisticated intellectuals and bankers and brokers and lawyers. But as soon as they get back to their Yichidat Miluim, they start acting like 18-year-olds again. And they meet on the lowest common denominator, not on the highest common denominator. And yeah, Baruch Hashem, that's one of the beautiful things that Torah and Am Yisrael Bichlal, that's one of the points that Rav Kook is going to mention here, is that we don't despair from fixing the social, the group, the klal, the nation. On the other hand, first, you have to recognize that you can't be naive, that it is a problem. And Rav Kook writes in several places that that it's a bigger challenge to try and tame and civilize and raise the klal, the masses, than it is the individual. Right? There are a lot of aspects of the masses. They talk about mass psychology, right? When people are at demonstrations, a lot of times they'll do things that they would never do themselves. But because everyone else is doing it, and it's peer pressure, and they get swung up, that's a problem. Rav Karlap, Rav Kook's one of his three closest students, in Mimaneh Yeshua, this is a sefer which we mentioned in the past, because very often he brings ideas from Orot in a much more down-to-earth signon. If somebody wants to learn Rav Kook on their own, the best suggestion is to learn Rav Karlap, because it's really the same idea, it's just an easier style. I think we once learned it in Chavruta. On page Shin Lamed Daled, Rav Karlap writes about the Midot and nationalism. וזהו ההבדל שבין ישראל לעמים ביחס לכישלון המידות. אצל העמים בא כישלון דווקא מצד האומה. By non-Jews, the more they're involved in nationalism, the more problematic they behave. וככל מה שמתרבה אצל המחוש הלאומי, regarding non-Jews, the more nationalistic, the more patriotic they are, כן מתרבים הכישלונות. Right? They want to be imperialistic, they want to conquer the world, a patriotic Frenchman hates the English, the patriotic Englishman hates the Frenchman, the patriotic German hates everyone.
And
everybody hates the The whole topic of nationalism is a problematic topic. Now this is very ironic for those who know that Rav Kook is such a super Zionist. Obviously, he's going to come up with a surprise, because here he's seeming to tell us, no, it's better to be an individual, and hold up in your cloister and as a nazir, as a hermit somewhere. Apparently, that's the direction where he's going. He's saying that is true regarding most of the world, regarding the non-Jews. That's true. Lagbir midat prautam, v'davka. Maybe it is connected with what Yehoshua said before. ודווקא מתוך זה נעשים הם לחייתו יער ולזאבי טרף. The Darwinism, the survival of the fittest, that's always going on in between nations. It brings out the animalistic in them. ואחד רוצה לחלות את השני. Everyone's always fighting against the other. אולם לא חן חלק יעקב. Here he's already revealing his cards, where Rav Kook is going to go. Am Yisrael is different. That's the chidush of Am Yisrael. Shekol ha-kishlonot shelehem, hem davka mitzad ha-pratiyut shelehem. Regarding a Jew, bidyuk the opposite. The more he's self-centered, the more he turns inwards, that's davka the problem. Adrabah, the more you relate to your Yisraeliyut, to your godly soul, as part of the klal, the more altruistic you become, the more giving you become, and that's what we learned about last year, that part of the beauty of nationalism in Am Yisrael is that it brings out the altruistic side of man, the selfless side. He gives 3 years of his life for the army. He's willing to give his life for the nation, right? This is a v'chol ma shemachshirim yoter etatzmal musaga klali shalem mizdakchim biyoter. The more a person identifies with Am Yisrael, the more he is purified, because it takes him above his physical yitzarim, which are found in his individualism, as opposed to on the national level, even the physical aspects of the nation of Israel are also holy. As we've learned in the past, our national land is the holy land. Our national language is the holy language. And Rav Tau summarizes this idea very nicely, where I have to read one more point before I let Rav Tau say it in his words. In Orota Milchama, Rav Kook here, I saw, by the way, in a Haredi pamphlet, they quoted this piska to prove that even Rav Kook was an anti-Zionist. I actually saw it quoted there. And, you know, you can tell what they're saying.
More people but out of context, they didn't works all the time.
All right, they didn't take it to the end. Rav Kook writes as follows. This is an Orota Milchama Piska Dalid. Azavnu et ha-politika ha-ulamit mi-ones she-yesh bo ratzon pnimi. We left the world politics against our will. In other words, the fact that we were sent into exile against our will has a positive aspect to it. In other words, inside, deep inside, it was for our betterment to leave the world of nationalism for a long time. Anasher tavo et ma'ushara, until the happy time will come, sheyefshar lenehel mamlacha below risha ubarbariut. Again, nationalism always brings with it war and barbarianism and imperialism, and an individual, he's not going to go and kill somebody, but as soon as you do it in the name of a flag and the nation, it's called war, and it's legitimate. Rav Kook says that's why when mankind needed time to mature, to become more and more moral, during those years, Am Yisrael, it was better for us, and we could then set an example for the world, so it would be better for the world, that we not deal with politics, in a period where there's no United Nations and imperialism is accepted, then it was better for us to be sent into exile, temporarily. Zeh hazman she'anu mekavim. But the time when it'll be time that we will be able to run a state based on morality, or what Rav Kook, Rav Tau calls, when Tzahal goes to war, when Am Yisrael goes to war, it is a war against wars. It's a war for the sake of peace. Somebody wants to come and kill innocent women and children, then in the name of peace, you have an obligation to defend yourself. Right? And the whole role of Am Yisrael is to bring morality and goodness and peace to the world. That's what the whole Tanakh is about. Thank God, like we've seen many times, Am Yisrael, little by little, is pulling the world up. Nevertheless, we had to take a time out from nationalism.
I think the end of that period of exile also, you see the people living in other, Jews living in other countries, become involved in local politics, and it becomes worse for them. And there's a yearning to get back into the political thing that has to be realized ultimately in Eretz Yisrael.
Right. That's an interesting thing. I once spoke about that the idea of the emancipation, where Disraeli and Noah, a lot of Jews became first political advisors and afterwards politicians, secretary of state, etc., etc., senators.
In the United States.
That
Germany before the Weimar Republic.
Yeah, the Jews started getting their feet in the water of politics. Herzl was a professional politician. He started as a journalist, but what he spent most of his life doing was playing the game of politics. Muvana davar, continues Orot HaMelchama, shekedei lagshimo anu tzrichim litorer bekochotenu kulam, lishtamesh bechol ha'emtzaim shehazman mevi. Right? We have to utilize all of the utensils, all of the occurrences that's going on in current events in order to achieve this dream. If Britain conquers the Palestine from the Ottoman Empire, and they have this Lord Balfour who's willing to, we have to take advantage of this, right? And use the Rothschilds' money, and use Montefiore's money, and use their influence. Anything that we can to return to set up our Jewish nation, which will be a nation to as an Or LaGoyim, to set an example. By the way, there's something that is very important to point out. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch talks a lot about the Jewish people as an Or LaGoyim, making a Kiddush Hashem as individuals in business, on the campuses. But anybody who looks in the Tanakh, every single time the term Or LaGoyim is used, it's always in the context of the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, with the state of Israel, setting the example for the world how to run a state with godly politics, with moral economy, with moral sports and music and modest fashions, etc., etc. Hakol yad el borei kol olamim nahelet. God is the one, everything that's going on in the world, Rav Kook is writing this during World War I, everything that's going on, God is the one who's giving us the signs to return to politics, to nationalism. Aval ha'yichur hu yichur muchrach. But this delay was necessary. Bachla nafshenu b'chata'im ha'ayumim shel hanagat mamlacha be'et ra'ah. We were nauseated over 2,000 years of seeing how not to run a government, all the anti-Semitic governments, we saw how not to run a government, and we learned from experience what not to do, until we were nauseated from it, and we couldn't stand it anymore. V'hine higia hazman. The time has come. And this, obviously, the Haredim wanted to show that Rav Kook was an anti-Zionist. They only quoted the first sentence. Right, saying that,
you know,
it's...
That backfires because some Haredi kid is going to say, oh, so that's what Rav Kook says. And they look inside and they see further on.
Back to Enaya. So, again, the problems of gizanut, of racism, of ultranationalism, etc., etc., Rav Kook says that is a problem. Ubaasher al pirov kol adam makir mi chavero raket chitzoniyuto. Hari, it's inevitable. Because regarding other people, Hari, what do I know? I don't know what you're thinking now. I know what you look like, how tall you are, how short you are, etc., etc., right? Lo et pnimiyuto. Al ken hachevra alula lashrish bekirba chataim shel hergel v'shel minhag. And that's why vis-a-vis people, as we act towards each other, we have a tendency to be external. And that brings, again, racism, or bichlal.
That's what we see.
Right. That's what we see, and that's what we relate to, and that's what preoccupies us. And by the way, that's the job of a country. The job of most countries in the world is economics.
Economy and defense.
Defense, right. All of these things are external, are physical, things which bring mankind down from his godliness.
Of course, welfare came in more recently.
Oh, okay. That's
which is an improvement based on the idea of zakat, which you don't find in the countries where Judaism through Christianity hasn't penetrated so much, India, China, Japan.
Right. Without a doubt, the whole idea of democracy, of welfare, of helping the lower class. These are all part of the advancement that Rav Kook is referring to in Orot that we just read. In other words, nationalism is not as barbaric as it used to be. So it's time, all of this, these are signs that it's time to go back and set up the state, which is meant to be the ideal state as Nor Laguim. I wrote an article once on an interesting phenomenon. Rilashon HaKodesh, there's no coincidence in the Hebrew language. And therefore, if you see something which is Yotze Min HaKlal, an exception, you always have to ask, what should be the plural of the word Ish?
Ishim.
Should be Ishim. But throughout the Tanakh, it's Anashim. Now, we know that there is another word, a Shorish, Aleph Nun Shin, which is
Enosh,
which is a man. But if you look in the context in the Tanakh, Enosh is always a bad person. Ish in Kabbalah, they talk about the difference between Aleph Yesh, Ish, somebody who has his Aleph, Aleph is one is Hashem, somebody who has that godliness, who has achieved his godliness, as opposed to Adam. There's Ish, Adam, Enosh. Adam, he has an Aleph, that's his Neshama, and he has Dam, he has the body.
And he also Adam,
a body and a soul.
He's connected to the dirt.
Right. Ish is a tzaddik, right? Whenever it says Ish, Chazal, very often, Rashi very often goes out of his way to bring that it's talking about a righteous person. Aleph Dam as opposed to Aleph Yesh. What is Aleph Nash, Enosh? Nash, Nun Shin, is to fall off, right? V'nashal, when the head of the axe flies off. Nashar is when the leaves fall off the tree.
Forgetting is also...
Noshef is when you breathe out. Or noshem.
Forgetting is also connected to that.
Forgetting.
Things fall away.
Neshicha, to bite off something away from its original place. Every word, there are like 10 examples, every verb that begins with nun shin has to do with something which is flying off.
Nashak, what about kissing?
Linashek, actually in Kabbalah, they talk about the difference between a chibuk, to bring to yourself, and a neshika, something which you give off.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Anyway, so what is Aleph Nash? Somebody who flew away from his Aleph, from his godliness. Now, all this is Kabbalistic, but even without Kabbalah, you just check it out. Tzadikim are called Ish. Whenever the word Enosh is used, it's somebody negative. Chazal also tell us that this goes back to Enosh. Enosh was the grandson of Adam, was the first one to be Oved Avodah Zarah, to serve idols. And so if so, why does the word Enoshut used? Let's call it Ishut, not mankind is called Enoshut.
Ishut is marriage, though.
Yeah, but Enoshut, when we're talking about mankind, the general, or many Ishim, we don't say Ishim, we say Anashim, because unfortunately the klal brings out the bad of man. The klal brings out the bad in man, almost always. Does that mean to despair that a person again should stay in his hole? No. That's Torah HaGalut.
That
was Torah HaGalut for 2,000 years. Torah Eretz Yisrael, and by the way, you'll notice, we don't have time to get into this, but Rav Kook himself underwent very clear changes regarding many issues from the time he came to Yafo. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook wrote about this a lot. What he called Mishnah Rishona is Torah HaGalut. Just on Shabbat, I saw Rav Kook writing a piskat that he wrote in Boisk in his 30s about how it's good to remove yourself from the physical world, which is so un-Rav Kookian, right? But there's no, you don't have to do, figure out what to do with it. You don't have to break your head and figure out a Rav Chaim's terutz, a Tosfot-like terutz. It's very clear, Rav Tzvi said it all the time. We learn the Sfarim of Rav Kook in Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, today, more and more of his older writings are being printed, and when you read them, there's nothing wrong with reading them. We're not in faith. There are those who do censor them. There's a Machon Rav Tzvi Yehuda who censors out things which contradict the later Rav Kook.
I believe Rav Tzuriel took takes the position that it's that there's the distinction is not so sharp as the official
but
line of the.
You see very, very clear differences. And here also, it's very clear where Rav Kook is going. If you would leave man as an individual, live his own life, he would not get to those same chataim that the chevra gets him to go. Because the chevra brings out the more external, the physical aspect of man. Right, that's where we're. He'll mention in two sentences where Am Yisrael is different. And that's the chidush. Alken, b'chol makom she'akibutz hu atik. Whenever we're talking about going to an old city where people have been living and there are customs that go back a long time, nitkabtzu chata'im rabim shel minhag. It's not just that, okay, Paris has amassed whatever, 2,000 years of sin, quantitatively. But those sins have become tradition.
Minhag is otiyot gehinam.
Yeah.
That's
just a very simple example. There are big cities have a lot more prostitutes, not just number-wise, but percentage-wise. In small cities, they just wouldn't allow it. Right? Everybody knows what's going on. Also, people who come to set up new cities, they tend to be
selective,
altruistic. Good old Yehoshua, one of the 10 founding members of Kol HaShachar, who goes to settle a mountaintop in the middle of nowhere, he must have an altruistic or idealistic side to him, especially if he's doing it in the name of Eretz Yisrael. Uvekibutz chadash kol yachid prati who mitnahel adayin lefi tivon atiyato. One of the advantages of a young yeshuv is that people have not gone into the mold. They don't just follow the minhag hamakom, oh, that's what we do. But they sit down and decide, hey, how should it be? Because if somebody moves to New York, no one's going to ask them, you know, how should, or even an organized Jewish community that's been running 100 years, or even 50 years. You come to a new place and they have all these new ideas and they say, well, that's not how we do it. And they'll laugh you out of town. In a new yeshuv, a person can bring out his goodness, his idealism. V'lamadnu sha'yachid ha'prati mitov shu yachol laredet lesov dat enoshiyuto pnima. The individual can go inside, can go into deep, idealistic issues, not just external, like the chevra does. Hu alu yoter lidroch b'derech tovim. He probably will continue in his good, godly, natural path.
I remember the first time I walked into a young Israel and saw these people 67 years old. I said, what's going on?
Yeah, young Israel. Yeah,
yeah, right.
It's true on the personal level as well. In other words, that the yeshuv itself, by factor of being younger, has less. It's less set in certain ways.
Yeah.
But also a person, when they go to a place which is smaller and it has less sort of defined boundaries, they themselves can discover their own freedom and not be bound by the way they were when they lived in a certain place before.
Exactly, exactly.
They also know less what they're doing, which I experienced the hard way in those days.
Omnam, shetef hachevra yishtefehu, on the other hand, the stream of the chevra, the pure pressure, pulls a person into kina, ta'ava, and kavod. Now notice, interesting. These things that Chazal tell us are the things that take a person out of the world. I never noticed till Rav Kook points it out that the common denominator between these three is that they involve other people. Kina is that you're jealous of the other person. Ta'ava is that you want the other person, or you want the other person's wife.
Well,
kavod is the idea of competition.
There's the other ma'amar about things that take people out of the world that's not along those lines.
Sir, well, our topic is these lines. Ve'al pihem yivaldu chukim lo tovim. Al ken, tov lador b'makom she'od lo nimchaku akevot atarbut pratit. The best thing to do is to live in a new place, a young yeshuv, where they haven't erased the signs of the culture of the individual, of the goodness of the individual. And again, Rav Kook is not saying live alone. You can't live alone in Judaism. You need a minyan, you need a keilah, you need a tzibur, you need ben adam lechavero. But he's suggesting to do it in a small place. I once, course, an introduction to psychology, where they said that in all of the surveys, crime goes up according to the larger size of the city. As the larger a city is, the more anonymous people are. Right? On a yeshuv, if you find a wallet, first of all, the odds are you probably know who it belongs to. So of course you're going to give it back to him. Right? You know, hey, this guy needs his money. But even if you don't know the guy, if you're accustomed to living in a small city, it's just a matter of asking one or two people till you find the person. You'll return lost object, and he returns your lost object. And there's a Gemara in Eruvin that says on the Pasuk, L'chad dodi nitzei asadeh. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu danenu, judge us like the people who live in the small towns, out in the fields. Because they're nice. You know, by the way, New Yorkers, when I'm not only talking about in Am Yisrael, when New Yorkers go down south, you know, and they meet, you know, the small communities and Jews, non-Jews, you know, they're just like, wow, you go to a place like Cleveland, you know, why, people are nice, you know. And that's another aspect of what Rav Kook is talking about. Shehi b'nuya al yesod teva adam b'tziruf l'limudav b'torah u'musar. When you take that natural goodness, together with an education of Torah and Musar, that a person works on himself. Hare, it's difficult for me to work on you. Right? I can't control your midot. And again, that's the problem of the klal.
Why have Jews gravitated to the large cities? Why are there so many of them in New York, if that's the case?
That's very clear sociological reasons. That's Jews always live by the sea, A, because they were businessmen, and B, easy in, easy out. What's called in the army, Derech Milut. When Jews have to run away.
Why New York? Why not a smaller city on the sea?
Well, maybe the Jews also got into the habit of not owning land over many years in Europe. And the idea of business, especially somebody who isn't educated.
But the biggest business center is the best way to make a living.
Yeah. And also you have connections. The Jew always could speak internationally with Jews in other countries in the world. He had connections that the Stam Goy never had. There are a lot of historic reasons why Jews went into business.
They only settled nearest the entry point to the country.
Right.
Yeah, and also you could take your money with you.
Yeah.
In other words, whenever you had to run away to the next exile, you know, after when the pogrom came, so you just pack your bags.
It's also that the Jew had a way of thinking out of the box to look at money as a resource rather than heavy property that's been in the family for generations and so on.
Nachon. That you sink with it sometimes if there are droughts and stuff.
Right.
Okay. Anyways, again, so the individual, especially when he is refined with the help of Torah education and Musar, mipnei ha-sha'on shel tarbut ha-chevra, and this helps defend him from the wildness of the chevra and culture, which could be a bad influence. Again, culture, the chevra, is fixated on physical beauty, physical money, things like that. Again, that's all that we know about each other. Like we explained. Muvan hadavar. Shedavar ze noheg uba ad hazman sheyishpoch Hashem rucho al kol basar. This is true, that culture is problematic and that nationalism is problematic until mankind will mature and reach that stage that we spoke about in Orot Milchama, where Rav Kook uses the term in black and white, hinei higia hazman. The time has come. By the way, Enaya really was written before. Enaya was written at the end of Boisk, right before he made Aliyah in 1904, in Tafir Samach Dalid. In other words, we're talking about more than a decade before the Balfour Declaration.
Is there more manuscript?
No. Unfortunately. Because it came chief rabbi. Didn't have time. Yeah. Rav Kook, when he came on Aliyah, started writing more, put all of his energy and creativity into writing philosophy and not a orderly book. In all of the orderly books that we have, Enaya, Midbar Shur, recently they came out on the internet with Nevuchei Hador, which is a book that got lost for a good 80 years. And there were rumors, does it exist, does it not exist? And now it's on the internet to anybody who wants to. And again, that's an example of something that Rav Yaakov Filber, Machon Rav Tzvi Yehuda, there are certain things that he says there about Christianity, about Yeshu, I think Spinoza, certain things there that they censored out because, you know, they would be misconstrued or easily misconstrued.
It's a controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't see them?
No, Adarava. Usually what always happens, at first somebody censors it, and then somebody puts out an article of all of the sentences that have been censored, so most of the... most of the yatzmachs in the world, all they will ever know about that book are those seven sentences. But it always happens. That's why censorship is always boomerangs.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it would have stayed there, nobody would ever read the book. Rav Kook is tough. But here, you got to read the seven sentences. Wow, look at it. You know. Muvana davar, shedavar ze noheg uva, Ad hazman sheyishfoch Hashem ruchu al kol basar. Hare, anybody who learned Tanakh knows that what we've been saying till now is not Judaism. Judaism is nationalist, and we do want politics, and we do want an army, and that's what Am Yisrael is based on, nationalism. But again, what's the answer? Like Rav Kook wrote, we had to have that pesek zman, that time out, in order to work only on our spirituality. V'chayei ha-chevra, k'mochen chayei ha-yachid, yitnasu l'ma'alatam ha-no'ada lehem. Right? And when that time comes, then the culture and the chevra, just like the individual, will rise to that level for which God created them. Again, God doesn't make mistakes. For sure not according to Rav Kook, or any thinking monotheist. Which means that all of the detractions that can be found in nationalism, they're not essential detractions. But, and they're also not a test. It's not just, you know, like Christians say, God wants to trick us to see if we'll, there are certain things which are bad that it's just a test. We say, no, everything is good. To be an Or LaGoyim is good. That's good nationalism. To set up an army which fights against evil, that is a good army. A war against wars is a very good war. It's moral. She'az davka betigboret koach ha-kibbutz yeh makom la'ader et ha-chayim u'l'kol sham. And adaraba, when you get a lot of great individuals together, after 2,000 years of this national, of this spiritual seminar, what a nation that's going to be. A nation with a lot of brains and a lot of creativity and chess masters and tzaddikim and geonim and V'amufet ha-chotech she-chayei ha-chevra gruim mi-chayei ha-yachid kol zman she-chesronot ha-musarim va-chomriim sholtim ba-olam. That which we've been saying till now, that the social life, the life of the klal, is worse than the life of the individual, that's only if you're talking about Paris or New York or old yeshuvim. We're old nations, but not us, and not in our new gear.
We have the advantage of Zionism. Being an old new nation.
Yeah. Alt-Neuland.
Alt-Neuland.
Who me'etzem tchunat anaga klalit biyachas sheben goy legoy. She'af shekvar rachash lo adam yediyah brura ve'kinyan tivi berubo leta'ev et shvichat damim b'chayei ha'yachid. Right, the individual. All of mankind, even the goyim, everyone, has already matured to a way that we can't stand murder and we can't stand theft and cheating. All these things have been internationally accepted. Od lo hitnasei lemadrega zu, sheyuchal lachyot gam ken chayei hatzibur belo milchamot. Nevertheless, the non-Jews have not yet arrived to the level that they can live without wars. Shel shefech dam rav. Adrabba. Look at World War One.
Yeah, he's
right. Ad ha'eta mushara shelo yisa goyel goy cheriv ayidei ur dat Hashem sheyair mitzion michlal yofi. The idea of Zion, of Zionism, of Jewish nationalism, which is going to bring out the godliness in the klal, in culture, in patriotism, al kin ra'ui lachzor leishev ba'ir sheyeshivata krova. And that's why it's good to sit in a new city. Shelo hitatka kol kach behergelei hachevra notim midarkei tzedek v'arachot chayim tovim. I'll just add parenthetically that something that we've seen very often in Rav Kook and the zigzags, which are constantly, the general direction is up, but with a lot of ups and downs on the way. And by the way, recently I saw that Hegel, everyone who summarizes Hegel's philosophy, that is the summarization. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Okay? And that's exactly Rav Kook. You take something to an extreme, you got to go to the other extreme. You learn from your mistakes, again and again and again and again, where the general direction is always advancement and evolution. Okay, that's a Rota Tshuva, what we learned 2 years ago.
Well, here also, subtlety because the jumps become less. When you take the difference between this and this, and you get somewhere in the middle, and then you get go to fine tuning as you go along.
Yeah, like the pendulum.
Yeah, the pendulum.
Now, without a doubt, if Rav Kook were alive today and he would see the corruption of the Olmert government and the corruption of the, unfortunately, the last Roshei Memshala, the undemocracy of them and some of the things that are going on in the army. Now, thank God, morally, the army and the soldiers are a lot better than any other army in the world, without a doubt. That's one thing which, yes, we are, without a doubt, fulfilling a large percent of our yud in, and the more banishing, the more bachurei yeshiva that are in the army is just getting better and better. But, and this is something that I spoke with Raveli Sadan from Eli about, we have to start talking with those guys what to do after the army. You know, once they, most of them stay till the age of 30, 35, after 4 or 5 children, they want to go back home. So that's when they start.
You're talking about the young career officers.
Right. Those young career officers have to up the down. And inevitably, it's just a matter of time, and I don't think it's going to be too long, till democratically a new spirit, a new type of politician. People like the Roy Klein and those guys who, there's nothing bad that you can say about them. Yeah, they're just good, idealistic people. They're not in the army to make money. They're not in it for the kavod. And those are the people that we want to go into politics to build the state that Rav Kook is describing. By the way, David Ben-Gurion also was a very, very idealistic person. Now, obviously, nobody's perfect. And there was a lot of things that he did wrong. On the other hand, one thing that you cannot say about him is that he was not in it for himself. He was in it for Am Yisrael. The same thing with Golda Meir and the same thing with all of the old politicians, which unfortunately now we're in a period of down, which is just like we've learned in the past, it's a yiridah letzorech aliyah, that trial and error, which is just a preparation, just like when the spring goes down in order to jump even higher. And that's why, on the one hand, it's inspiring to read Rav Kook to see where the state of Israel is going to be going. On the other hand, if you read a newspaper, it's sort of depressing, you know, hey, it looks like we're regressing compared to the early years of the state. On the other hand, it's just, you just got to have a lot of patience. And not only patience, not to be passive about it, but if anybody who knows somebody that they can, some young, you know, guys like the tipples that I mentioned before, people who have Kabbalot from their career in the armies or career in whatever it is, that can go into politics, we have to push them. Right? Those, somebody who has the anava, who has the humility, he is not, that's the type of person we want, he's not going to push himself into politics. We have to look for people who, and pressure them to go in. And Bezrat Hashem, that way we'll have that Orla Goyim and bring out the godliness in politics, which is a very big chiddush.